Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service. The Reverend Fabian Wirtz, Vicar of St. James, introduces us to our new sermon series based around our church vision, encountering, growing, and participating. Our readings are taken from Isaiah 6, verses 1 to 8, and Mark 8, verses 10 to 20. You can watch the whole service on our YouTube channel, which is linked on our website.
Our Old Testament reading is taken from the sixth chapter of Isaiah. I'm reading the first eight verses. Isaiah's commission. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I. Send me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Our New Testament reading is taken from the Good News Bible and is the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 4, starting at verse 10, and is entitled "The Purpose of the Parables." This follows the initial verse of chapter 4, where Jesus is teaching his followers beside the lake at Galilee. The crowd grew and became so large, he got into a boat and told them the story of the sower who scattered corn seed on different types of ground. I'm sure you will remember the parable, but Jesus went on to explain the purpose of the parables because he was concerned that many were hearing what he was saying, but not learning from it. Mark chapter 4, verses 10 to 20. When Jesus was alone, some of those who had heard him came to him with the 12 disciples, hearing what he was saying, but not learning from it. "You have been given the secret of the kingdom of God," Jesus answered. "But others who are on the outside hear all things by means of parables, so that they may look and look, yet not see. They may listen and listen, yet not understand. For if they did, they would turn to God, and he would forgive them." Explaining the parable of the sower, Jesus asked them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The sower sows God's message," Some people are like the seeds that fall along the path. As soon as they hear the message, Satan comes and takes it away. Other people are like seeds that fall upon rocky ground. As soon as they hear the message, they receive it gladly. But it does not sink deep into them, and they don't last long. So when trouble or persecution comes because of the message, they give up at once. Other people are like seeds sown among the thorn bushes. These are the ones who hear the message, but the worries about life, the love for riches, and all other kinds of desires crowd in and choke the message, and they don't bear fruit. But other people are like seeds sown on good soil. They hear the message, they accept it, and bear fruit. Some 30, some 60, and some 100. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, church, and maybe it's best to start right from the beginning to apologize for unfortunately limiting your experience to this digital version of myself. It turns out that despite my best efforts, I have yet to master the art of being in two places at once. And, well, I must admit that your vicar has indeed fallen victim to the basic pitfall of double booking. Nevertheless, I do trust that even my digital presence can inspire, encourage, and stretch your faith this morning. As we step into this new year, 2025, it's a great time to look at our church vision, the values that we hold. So we have discerned those three powerful callings that our church should embody in everything it does, whether it's in its building or whether it's as Christian at home. And those are the three principles: encountering God, growing as a follower of Jesus, and participating in the life of His Spirit. And so my prayer this morning is that these pillars will stir your hearts and kind of help shape your direction and the direction of our church this coming year. So let's start addressing this time also with a prayer to our loving Father. God of every blessing, as we explore our church vision today, continue to prune our priorities, to refine our listening, and to realign our ministries so that they will be shaped to express your desires and your intentions, that there will be an experience of your kingdom coming here among us as it is already perfectly expressed in heaven. Amen. One of the things you might want to do this week is to look actually at our website, where our vision and values and principles are written down. So here it is at stjamestaunton.org, and you click on that menu and at vision and values, and that's the screens you will get. And you can read there that our intention is to grow both in numbers and in depth, and to seek the transformation and the renewal of our lives, our town, and our world. The growing in depth and in number, we will explore that more in detail next week. But I want to concentrate on those three kind of principles, three callings that shape all we do at St. James, which is encountering God, growing as followers of Jesus, and participating in the life of His Spirit. Encountering God is both individually and as a community is to take regular time, a rhythm of prayer, a rhythm of reading the Bible, studying, learning, a rhythm of meeting other Christians for encouragement, and a rhythm of service, whether it's through your career, your work, or whether if you have more time because of being retired, through the community or the life of the church. But it's also collectively that all our activities, our service, our events, are places where God can be encountered. And that's very important, because that might mean that some of our things we do, we've used to do in the past, are not fit for that purpose. And sometimes it takes courage to drop things down so that other things can spring, that are more in line with the seasons that we are in and what God is calling us to do. Then the second one is about growing as followers of Jesus, and that's that all that we do individually is an outworking of that ongoing relationship with Jesus. Jesus promises that he will be with us, that we will hear his voice, that he will guide us. And so what you do, what I do, should be an outworking of that journey with him. But also that means together as a church, we should seek to hear from Jesus, his intentions, his instructions, and to kind of work out that in a way that honors his presence. And then finally, participating in the life of his Spirit. And that's that my work or my time, my commitment with family, with the community, or even the church, are done in the power of God's Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who gives gifts, abilities, and enables. When we are in step with him, there will be power, not our own power, but God's power at work in us and through us. Now, these three powerful callings are expressed in both our readings this morning. In our first reading, we have Isaiah. Isaiah, who encounters God profoundly, and he experiences God's holiness, majesty, awesomeness, and glory that fills the temple. And his reaction is, "I saw the Lord." And just as Isaiah, we are called to be a place where people, when they leave an activity, a service, an event, feel they have met something different, something they can't find in the world, the very presence of God. And that's at the heart of the vision in our church, that some kind of transformation, some kind of changes happens through our various ministries. Our grow will be a reflection of our seeking to express God's intentions and to experience God's presence in all we do. So here are some of the questions. Have I sought God's mind in the choices I make, the activity, the project, the venture I have maybe in mind? Is that an outworking of prayer and dwelling in prayer? What will people discover of God and his character and his intentions through that event, through that activity? And how is God's kingdom being revealed and expressed in those events? These should be questions that we regularly ask, and we should always start with prayer, not just a prayer of covering what we really want to do, but a prayer of listening, laying down, obedience, and seeing and expecting God to do new things. Now, in the parable of the sower, we have the seed, which Jesus says is the word of God, the message of God, the speech of God, what God wants to communicate. And it's a communication from a God. And we have various ways of hearing it and receiving or not receiving it in this parable. But also, the whole passage challenges us to be generous and bold in our scattering of the seeds, creating space for friends and colleagues to discover for themselves faith. We do that through our Alpha course. We want our life group to be as open as we can so that new people can come and discover. But I think what we're missing is creating good events, evenings that are relevant to our friends and neighbours, where they can hear something of the Christian message, the God communication to them in their situation. So by faithfully sowing the word, and that's just not the spoken word, but also our action of love and service, we trust that some will encounter God and be transformed by it. So our first call is to encounter God. The second call is about growing as followers of Jesus. Isaiah's reaction to the presence of God is one of profound self-awareness and the response also to it. He realizes that he is a sinful person. He realizes his shortcomings before the Almighty God and become really acute about his own life and inadequacy. And so he says, "Woe to me, my eyes have seen the King." Yet God meets him, not in anger, but in mercy. And it's symbolized by this call that cleanses his lips. And so this divine encounter not only convicts Isaiah, but it transforms him. He becomes a new person, and he wants to live out those changes. We will see that in our third point. And so Christian life is the same. It starts by a similar encounter, realization that God is God, and that I've messed up in some ways, and that I need mercy, that I need forgiveness, that I need a new and a fresh heart and direction, that I need new energy to live a different way. And that comes when we realize who Jesus is, what he has done on our behalf by dying for our sin, and that his resurrection, conquering sin and death, is good news because it allows us to start in his strength and in his power a fresh and a new life. And so in the parable of the sower, that message, the word that is spread, falls in different kind of soils that represents the heart of a person. And we have the path, which represents a heart that is hard, that is unable or unwilling to hear the words that come from God. And so because there is this resistance, it cannot bring any fruits, any transformation. The seed cannot even penetrate and start growing. Then we have the ground that is rocky, the rocky ground. And this illustrates a place where our hearts can be shallow. We accept a word quite quickly, but we haven't let sink in. It's just superficial. And when a challenge or a criticism or we just want to go back to the old ways comes up, that's what we do. And so it doesn't bring the fruits that God had intended. The third is the thorny ground. So here the soil symbolizes a heart that is overcome with distractions, worries, the pull of wealth or popularity or influence, or the competing desires that then choke God's intentions, God's words, God's message to you, to me, and to us as a church. And these distractions make it difficult to prioritize, to actually have the courage to go for maybe a few things that we know and to lay down, to prioritize the things that God has already said and to hear that and put that into practice. And we allow other voices to be louder and they compete and they're gaining the ascent. Then finally, we have this good soil. This is the condition when our hearts, it's really open, it's soft, it's receptive, and it's responsive to God's message and to God's direction. And in that soil, God's word, God's communication, God's plans grow abundantly, and it brings fruits, transformations, and blessings. And so this story, this account of Jesus, is a call for us to examine ourselves. Are we receptive? Am I receptive to God's messages, particularly when I know that it will cost me something? Maybe a suggestion is, what is the last word you heard from God? What have you done about it? Is it now starting bearing fruit? Has the direction then be changed? Or maybe it's about distractions. Am I distracted, shallow, or resistant? What thorn, maybe, what rocks, what hardened areas in my heart needs God's intervention, God's grace, and my work, my response? Am I in a place where I bear fruit? And bearing fruit is a growing process, but am I in a place where I know that God is working in me and through me, bearing fruit? The parable of the sower is a profound invitation to open our hearts, to tend to the soil, and to be those who not just hear, but receive, and allow it to have that transformative reality. So first, our call to encounter God. Second, our call to grow as follower of Jesus. And thirdly, it is about participating in the life of His Spirit. After encountering God and experiencing the presence and the awesomeness of God, Isaiah responds to God's calling by saying, "Here I am, send me." As you participate in the life of the Spirit, God will use you, will send you, will give you a desire for a particular service, a particular area. And then in the parable of the sower, we are encouraged to hear that a good soil, a good heart, produces fruit. The seed that's on that ground don't just penetrate the ground and grows, but it also multiplies. It produces an abundant harvest. And this is a reflection of the transformative power of God's life, God's Spirit, in us and through us, when we participate in God's mission, when we put His plans, His way, His priorities first. And so at our church, we want to continue to look at those three callings: encountering God, growing as followers of Jesus, and participating in the life of the Spirit. Encountering God, like Isaiah, we aim to cultivate that awe-inspiring encounter with the living God. And that should shape our life, our events, our activity, all that we do. And we should be a church that sows the good news, the message of God, everywhere, and generously and boldly. Growing as followers of Jesus, just as Isaiah, whose meeting with God cleansed his heart, cleansed his objectives, his priorities, his desires, and he was then willing to commit himself, to commit to be sent and to be used by God. And we nurture our spiritual life also by allowing the ground of our hearts, the soul of our hearts, to become tender and a place where the seeds can not just take place, but grow and multiply. And participating in the life of His spirits, as we follow again Isaiah's example, his willingness to be sent out, to be part of God's mission, to seek to bring His intentions and purpose in His time, and we have that mandate in our own time. So may God stir our hearts to apply these three pillars of encountering God, growing as a follower of Jesus, and participating in the life of His Spirit, to shape our shared journey into 2025. God bless you, and see you next time. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website, www.stjamestaunton.co.uk, and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.